July 23rd, 2005, item number 66. Today's guest is Trucker Tom.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Trucker Tom, a couple quick news and notes. We're a week late, but the first test was negative. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go back and listen to my old shows, because I'm not going to do one of those, oh, by the way, if you're new to the show, here's what we're about. If you want to know what we're about, got plenty of shows out there. Go to podcast411.com and listen to some of the old shows. Besides, if I did one of those, oh, here what we're about, then I'd have to face the wrath of Scott Fletcher from Podcheck Weekly, and I don't want that to happen. Right now, I want to play a tech tip that was sent in to me from Michael Corino from the Digital Media Cast Experiment.
Hi, I'm Michael Corino from the Digital Media Cast Experiment with today's podcasting tip. When you want to go light yet get quality audio captures, I like to use the iRiver IFP-899. This is a small MP3 recorder with a built-in microphone as well as a line-in and microphone-in jack. I got mine at the local Best Buy for about $180. The microphone-in jack is also capable of powering popular microphones, such as the one on a set of Altec Lansing 302i headphones with boom mic. Even when you're using the highest quality compression rate, the IFP-899 has hours of recording time, and if you're careful with your levels, the capture you will get will be very nice, definitely good enough for podcasting. You can also use this unit's built-in microphone. If you use the Altec Lansing 302i headphones with a boom mic, place the mic about 1/4 inch above level with the tip of your nose. This will prevent popping peas and, what's more important, the sound of your breathing. The first time I tried this, I had a cold. I forgot what I was even talking about because I got fixated on my breathing. It was worse than hearing the voices in my head. Moving the mic into the right position helped a lot. Also, with a couple of shelf parts from your local Radio Shack, you can build a splitter so you can run two 302i's into one IFP-899, one microphone in each channel. True, it will sound like an old Beatles song with that deliberate stereo separation, but what do you think audio editors are for? By the way, I'm recording this segment using an IFP-899 and a set of Altec Lansing 302i's. Last but not least, I do not get any compensation from iRiver or Altec Lansing. Thanks, Rob, for letting me yap on your show.
Well, Michael, thanks for the tech tip. If you out there would like to yap on my podcast, as Michael put it, please send a tech tip no greater than 2 minutes in length to podcast411@gmail.com. We'd love to play your tech tips on the show and help promote your podcast. What I'm going to do now, before the interview, I'm going to play part of a promo for the Trucker Tom's podcast, and that will give you some background on his podcast, and then we'll get right into the interview. Here we go.
Come on along and sit shotgun with me while I travel across the USA in a big rig. We'll talk about the trucking industry, podcasting, current events, and you can be sure I'll tell it like it is. So come on, get in. I've got a load to deliver.
Okay. I had to break in here and just point out that Tom is delivering a different type of load than the type that Chris Rockwell from the Daily Download delivers on his show. Okay, back to the promo.
Just go to truckerphoto.blogspot.com.
Okay, now give me a break. You were thinking the same thing I was. You know you were.
For Trucker Tom's podcast. You never know what will happen from one show to the next.
Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and I'm finally glad to talk to you in person.
It's been a few months. I was looking back at the emails. I see emails going all the way back to February 20th. So, and I apologize. It's taken so long to get you on the show.
Well, partly that was my fault because I didn't have a very good internet connection. A lot of times I'm connecting in truck stops, Wi-Fi, and primarily I'm connecting through a Sprint PCS card, a Merlin card. And so that doesn't really work very well with Skype.
Well, let me start you out with traditional first question. You probably know this one. And what was your first computer?
Well, my first computer was a Radio Shack color computer. And it had, I think when I purchased it, bytes of RAM, and I think I upgraded it to 64. And then I went ahead, you remember it came with the chiclet-style keyboard. And I even subscribed to some color computer magazines, and they actually sold a real keyboard that you could install in it. So I kept that thing for quite a while.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
Well, believe it or not, this is not going to be too original. The first podcast I listened to was Adam Curry. I had heard about podcasting back in probably October. It's the first time I heard the word podcasting, and so I ended up thinking, I need to look that up. I need to look that up, and I never did, and I heard it again and again, and finally I looked it up, and I heard it. That was probably mid-December. I looked it up, and I found Adam Curry, and I listened, and I was immediately hooked. So I immediately bought my little Creative Movo MP3 player, and not long after that, I started doing my own podcast. But so Adam was the first one that I listened to.
What podcasts are you listening to now on a regular basis?
I'm not listening to a lot of the big-name ones like a lot of folks are. I'm listening to a lot of smaller ones. I listen to a lot of tech podcasts. One of them, I'm listening to Brad Gibson's Current Thinking. Of course, I'm listening to the Catholic Insider. Also listening to Geek News, of course, and of course your podcasts as well. I've listened to all of your podcasts. And, of course, the IT Conversations. And let's see, I'm listening to Mike Tech Show. That's another tech podcast. There is also another truck driver and his wife that are out there podcasting. It's called Out Here on the Road. They're doing a podcast. Another one that I listen to is called Rip and Read Blogger Podcast. Chris Perillo, I listen to that. Listens to the M Show. Tips from the Top Floor is one that I found recently that I really enjoy. That's really well done. Another one that I'm listening to is a friend out in California. It's called Typical PC User, and that's Victor Callejo. And a couple of other ones that might be off the beaten path. Since the Catholic Insider, I'm not Catholic, but I'm listening to the Vatican Radio. That's kind of interesting. Another one I'm listening to is the Working Podcast. I know you interviewed that fellow that's doing the Working Podcast, yeah. And that was pretty funny.
Yeah, Andrew's really a good guy.
Yeah, that's really, really clever stuff. And there are a few others here and there. Listen to Leo Laporte, of course. The Twit thing is pretty good. And that kind of covers it. There may be a couple of others here and there, but those are the ones that I'm primarily looking for every morning when I wake up. I'm looking on my hard drive to see what was downloaded.
Sounds like you have a lot in your hard drive each morning.
Well, yeah, I do. What I've found over the last 6 months, really, since I've been listening to podcasts, some of the original ones that I subscribed to just sort of dried up. People did a few podcasts, and then they found out that it was actually work. It just sort of went away, and I'm finding that happens that people will start a podcast, and then they just sort of quickly lose interest in it. And so it's a kind of a challenge to continue to look for new ones in order to keep my MP3 player humming.
Let's tell the listeners about your show and the format and what people can expect to hear when they listen in.
My show, when I first started it back in mid-December, I've been kind of all over the map. I tried playing music that I found on GarageBand.com, and then I started doing sound seeing tours, various kinds. A lot of times I'd carry the thing in the truck stop with me, and I really didn't know. And then I started getting all kinds of email response from people. Some people liked the music that I played, but I got a lot more response from the sound seeing stuff. Because I'm a truck driver, I started getting quite a bit of email from people that were perhaps interested in career changes, and they were asking me questions about truck driving, how to become a truck driver. I started a whole series of programs and segments of programs where I would talk about the process of becoming a truck driver. My podcast is kind of all over the map. One of my friends told me that I met through the podcast. He said that the thing that attracts him to my podcast is the fact that when he downloads it, he never really knows what he's going to get. He always knows that he's going to be entertained. When you get my podcast, you know that I'm going to probably go through the email because I really like answering the email questions that I get. But you never really know beyond that what it's going to be about, because it could be a sound seeing tour, or it could be almost anything.
beyond obviously what you said about your show and doing the interviews, you provide a service, a great service to the podcasting community, and that's podcast promos. And do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, the podcast promos, I started that several months ago. The idea is that I'm not hosting the promos, but folks can go on that website, podcastpromos.com, and they can submit a link to their promo that's on their server. And the idea is that other people will pick that up and play that in their podcast, but in exchange, my request is that they play the other person's promo in their podcast. So that way, the podcast, it all gets kind of spread around and kind of cross-pollinated. That has been going along good. The number of users continues to build up gradually over time. You know, generally speaking, it's hard to get people to participate in anything. And I'm sure that most podcasters are finding that out. And so that's why I've always been grateful that I've gotten so much email response from my podcast. And that's why I like to answer the email back. And the same thing applies to the podcastpromos.com. It's hard to get people to become involved in something like that. And so, but I try to make sure that everyone that posts a link to their podcast promo there, I am going to play it. And whether anybody else plays it or not, you can rest assured that if you post your promo on podcastpromos.com, that it will get played in my podcast. And chances are that it will get picked up and played in other podcasts as well.
Yeah, and I post my promo there for Wichita Rutherford, which I believe you played, and where he did my promo for me, which was nice.
Yes, that's a really cool promo.
Yeah, he did a really good job on that, and I was very, very pleased with that. And Wichita, thank you again. I used podcast promos early on when I started adding promos to my podcast. That's where I was getting them from before people, I asked people to start sending them in, and now I've got quite a backlog. But before, in the early days, I was using podcast promo all the time. I heard you mention that you are switching jobs, you're cleaning out your truck. When do you start at the new company?
Mm-hmm. I was just emailing this fellow with this other company just a while ago. What's going to happen, he's going to rent me a car and I'm going to drive down to Dallas, is where their terminal is. Probably sometime Tuesday afternoon I'll be down there, do a road test and a drug screen, and then I will pick a truck up there. They'll take me up to Pennsylvania where their main office is located, and then I'll go through probably a 2 or 3 day orientation process that is basically going to start next Tuesday.
Can you tell our listeners where to locate your podcast?
The main podcast is it's truckerphoto.blogspot.com. That's truckerphoto.com. My main website is www.truckerphoto.com. Also got a couple of other podcasts that I've kind of thrown out there. Most recent one is Digital Off-Ramp, and that's digitalofframp.blogspot.com. That's like a 2-minute tech blurb type thing where I just kind of get in, make a point, and get out. It's never going to be more than 4 minutes long, and I'm making that available for people that want to put that inside their podcast. They're free to put that in and use it however they want. And I've also got another subject that no one is covering, and it's tattoos. And so I will, about once a week, I will go through and find tattoo-related stories in the national news and the international news. It can be anywhere in the world. And I'll kind of go over those. And my purpose for that podcast is people that are interested in the subject of tattooing or getting a tattoo, I want them to have a positive experience as possible.
Now, what is it with all these young girls with the tattoos on the lower back? What's the significance from that? Where'd that come from? It wasn't there when I was 15 years ago when I was younger.
I don't know. That's really a fad. I've often wondered that myself. It's just a fad.
Okay, so it doesn't come out of the old jailhouse tradition of putting the tattoo on the guy's lower back, so when the other guy was doing him, he had a woman to look at.
Now, I don't know about that. That might be. That's possible. That could be.
I just figured
but,
it was women putting some...
Generally...
I just thought it was women putting some artwork where their boyfriends could appreciate it while they were going at it doggy style. Yeah, I don't know where that came from,
but
I could just see some women putting the tattoo on the back. Don't forget to take out the trash.
Someone emailed me a story. One of my listeners emailed me a story today. There was a woman out in Salt Lake City, and she actually had GoldenPalace.com, that casino, Golden Palace. She had that tattooed on her forehead just below her hairline. And she actually had an eBay auction, and Golden Palace paid her $10,000 asking price. I couldn't believe it. I'll send you the link.
$10,000 is too low.
There's actually pictures of it.
$10,000 is too low because you're going to spend all of that in laser surgery to get it removed.
That's right. That's crazy. That's absolute insanity.
I mean, I can see $100,000. $100,000, then you spend $10,000 to have it removed, and you got your pocket $90,000 at less taxes. By the time she's done paying taxes, and then she goes to have to pay to have this removed 2 weeks from now when she sobers up, she's going to realize what an idiot she was.
I would hope so, anyway, but people will do some crazy things.
Let's talk a little bit about the equipment that you use for your setup, because you're definitely doing a mobile recording setup.
Okay, the computer that I have is a Toshiba, and it's a Satellite A75S211. I'm using a Plantronics DSP500 USB headset microphone, and that is giving me pretty good sound as far as the microphone goes. It's got its own built-in, basically a built-in sound cord that's built into the cord that plugs in USB. It'll work with both a Mac and a PC. And for $70, you're getting pretty good sound. It's not as good as it would be if it was an external mixer with a broadcast quality microphone. I'm limited in what I can do in the truck because I'm running the computer off a power inverter, and the power inverter introduces a tremendous amount of noise. So when I'm recording my podcast, I have to switch off the inverter and just run on the battery that's in the computer. The battery in the computer just wouldn't be powerful enough to power a USB sound card. And so can't go that way. I'm looking to maybe get a sound card that plugs into a PCMCIA slot that has XLR inputs. Now, for my mobile setup, I'm using a Sony ST25 flash recorder, and it will record about 80 minutes in the high-quality stereo mode. And I bought a Sony external DSP, I think it's DS70P, external stereo microphone that plugs into the top of that thing. I'm getting pretty good sound quality out of that combination. When I first got the flash recorder, I was making the mistake of setting it at the highest sensitivity setting, and that was kind of squashing everything, raising the volume so that everything was the same volume, whether it was close or far away, kind of compressing it. And that was a huge mistake. And once I lowered it to the medium sensitivity setting, I got much better sound.
For your editing software, what are you using?
Okay, now to record my podcast on the computer, I'm using... I started out using Audacity. Then once Mixcast Live became available, I've been using that ever since. And so I've been using it a number of months. I do use Audacity to edit the mobile recordings that I make. And with the Sony recorder, I transfer those to the computer through USB. And I'll bring them into Audacity and maybe edit them and tweak the levels and what have you. Basically, Audacity in combination with Mixcast Live. Been pretty pleased with the Mixcast Live software.
Finally, what advice would you like to offer out to someone that's looking at podcasting or even those that are podcasting?
I give this same advice. I've had a number of people that wrote to me talking about wanting to start a podcast and how to do it. I'm always happy to help folks out. The advice, one of the pieces of advice that I give people is that be real in your podcast. We've got plenty of fake. We're surrounded by fake radio, fake people on television.
Tom, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, you're very welcome. I enjoy listening to your podcast, and I get a lot out of it. You ask some great questions of people, and it's interesting to hear how different people respond in different ways.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Trucker Tom. Please check out his podcast at truckerphoto.com. That's P-H-O-T-O Also, if you have a promo you'd like to share, go to podcastpromos.com to share your promos with other podcasters. Thanks again, Tom, for coming on the show. Sorry it took almost 6 months to get you on here. And speaking of promos, at the end of today's podcast, we'll be playing a promo from the Sleepy Creepy Show, very funny podcast. And lastly, the podcastawards.com website. Please take the time to go over and support some of our future guests, such as Exit 50 and Media Artist Secrets, whose both of those interviews are in the can, and you'll be hearing in the next few weeks. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us tonight. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
This Creepy Sleepy Show underwriting grant is brought to you by A Crazy Guy with Cash.
Hi, this is Bob, and I'm a homeless man who recently just won the lottery. So I decided to support my favorite podcast by donating lots of money to their show. And in return, they promised to play my crazy music.
That's right, Bob, and this offer is now open to all musicians. If you got a song and $50,000, we'll play whatever you want.
You see, back in the FM radio days, they used to call this type of practice payola, and it's technically illegal. But now that the Creepy Sleepy Show is podcasting, we'll take all kinds of money from musicians.
Hey, Doc and Dan, I've got a song. I think it's a hit, and everyone else thinks it sucks. Can I be on your show?
Sure, for $50,000.
That's right, we're now offering the Creepy Sleepy Guarantee. No melody, no talent, no problems. If you've got $50,000, we'll get you on our podcast.
This offer is limited to unsigned, unrepresented musicians. Please send all music and a check for $50,000 to the Creepy Sleepy Show, care of Doc and Dan, or email your music and bank routing information to creepysleepyshow@gmail.com.
The Creepy Sleepy Show, indie rock, politics, and payola.